You're listening to New Soundwave with your hosts, John DeLuna, Rob Springer, XV, Chris Triplett, and Brian Kilby.
Hey, everybody. This is your old pal, John DeLuna. This is New Soundwave 45, I think.
40-something.
Somewhere between 44 and 46, you will find this show. With me, it's Guys Night Out, baby. It's Chris Triplett, Rob Springer, XV, and Brian. Amy may drop in later in the show. Kind of doubt it. She's dealing with a biohazard in the house.
Yeah, we can say what it is. It's a pee situation.
It's urine.
Everything's like potty emergency.
Potty yes. Emergency Wednesdays.
Mm-hmm. Yes, 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 yes. It's a new tradition in the Lady White House. Fantastic.
Sounds like that. NBC's lineup, Potty Wednesdays.
I would watch that.
Nice. Well, on today's show, we'll take you around the gaming world real quick. Some news on PlayStation Move, Mega Man, some fighting games, some other stuff, and then a nice beefy conversation about first-person shooters in light of BioShock Infinite's awesomeness, 10 minutes of awesome, that hit the internet this week. So without further ado, the PlayStation Move came out within the last week or so, and nobody really cared. But how could you not care with awesome launch titles?
Wait, it actually came out?
Yeah, it's at our Walmart.
It's out, baby.
I looked at it again, today. That
one cared.
Well, that's pretty much the perfect response there, Kilby.
Yeah, pretty much. But Brian, how could you not care with games the likes of Sports Champions, High Velocity Bowling, Tumble, Start the Party with an exclamation mark, and Kung Fu Rider.
When did Sony become the also-ran? Sony used to like lead the pack. Not necessarily innovation, but
when they announced the PS3 was going to be $600 freaking dollars, that's what it happened.
Yeah, I mean, seriously, the PS3 is the biggest also-ran in the history of games.
Yeah, it's just a bunch of like Me Too technology.
Yeah, it is. It's sad because it's not a bad piece of hardware. Maybe crap to program for, but they're finally getting the hang of it.
Yeah, I remember we talked about this on a new Soundwave many moons ago. I can't believe I just said that. And you know, having to put the little light bulb thing on there and have a separate camera unit to track it just seems, it screams bad copy.
Yeah, I mean, sorry Sony, but you kind of suck.
It might be like industry standard motion capture technology, but the Wii does it so much better.
Yeah.
You know, yeah. I think they might have just redeemed themselves a little bit to me because they released a game called Start the Party. Like, I fully expect CNC Music Factory to be in there as like a FMV.
Who,
you can only hope.
Seriously, who's going to party with a game? I mean, how sad and lonely do you have to be to party? Ooh. It's got to be a one-player game because nobody's going to sit around and do that with a group of people.
It's not like it's Mario Party.
Yeah, it's basically an elaborate dating simulator where instead of actually, you know, having to worry about, you know, like the romance of dealing with another person, you're just sitting around and chilling with someone.
Oh, crap. And think about what shape the controller is.
Oh, jeez.
Ooh, nice.
Oh, start Maybe. The party.
Yeah.
That's why they call it PlayStation Move.
Yeah, it comes with a little baggie of Coke that you snort before you turn it on.
A little 80s vibe going. You know, on the other side of the spectrum, a new Pokemon game came out, and everybody bought it in Japan. It was released a week ago, Pokemon Black and White, and they have already racked up 2.55 million in sales, units in sales, and they broke a record for pre-sale. 1.88 million games were pre-ordered before it even came out.
I understand that also it's the first game to get a perfect score in Famitsu magazine.
It's not the first game. Other games have gotten a perfect score.
There have been a few, the predictable.
There's been like 18 games or something in the last couple of years.
Okay, then I just read bad information.
Maybe it's the first DS game to get.
I mean, Famitsu is kind of like GameSpot, where GameSpot used to have this ridiculously high standard. You know, then like all these games started getting perfect scores. I think the first was like Legend of Zelda: Ocarina of Time. Then in the next, you know, 5 years, we had like 15 games get perfect scores because GameSpot sold out.
based on the game sales, is Japan racist? Is like white being preferred over black?
Always. In Japan.
Good question. And I'm going to, we're going to go out on a limb and say yes.
Yes. Way to go, Japan.
So speaking of games that have been done a million times, but this time it's different. So unlike Pokemon, which is, for God's sake, it's the same game, people. It's like the 20th version of the same game. Mega Man Universe is very much not going to be just another Mega Man game because it's got stage and character customization.
So it's Little Big Planet, but it's Mega Man.
Yes, but it's...
That sounds pretty awesome, actually.
Yeah.
Mega Man goodness. It is. I looked at the stage customization, and it really does feel like it was oddly inspired by all the Super Mario World hacks that you see on YouTube.
ROM hacks.
Didn't they already do this, though? Like, anybody remember that PSP game that that actually had where you could customize your own stages?
Yeah, yeah.
Really?
Yeah, don't you remember it?
No.
The one that PSP? We make up.
Yeah. Yes.
Really?
What was it called? It came out years ago.
I've got it around here.
I have a reason to buy something for my PSP.
It's like the original Mega Man with super deformed characters. And a couple
Yeah. I remember that.
Yeah, this sounds just like that, except for maybe better.
Hey, PSP, I should play you.
Should call you sometime. Yeah.
I remember the Mega Man game with the customizable thing, I think.
Yeah.
Mixing two things up. Oh, I don't know.
Of course, this one has that crazy-looking guy from the box art from Mega Man 1.
Yeah,
excellent.
Like Mega Man Gladiator. Yes.
Okay, some quick hits on fighting games. If you're a PC gamer and if you want Super Street Fighter 4, screw you. You're not going to get it, and it's because of piracy. Aww. So apparently Street Fighter 4
is crap.
Amply pirated. Rampantly, so much so that Capcom's decided it's better to just not make money off Super Street Fighter 4 for PC because it does so much damage to their IP.
You know, actually, I'm probably going to look up and buy a copy of Street Fighter 4 on the PC so that I can put it in my main cabinet.
Do it.
Yeah, there you
do
go.
Do it.
Yeah.
Be sweet. To the other side of the fighting world, Tekken Tag Tournament 2 has been announced.
What's up with that?
I don't know. And it came out of left field. We do know a little bit. Here's a little bit on it. It will have the largest roster of any Tekken game to date. There will be a significant number of returning characters that didn't make it to Tekken 6 or either version of Tekken 6, Tekken 6 or Tekken 6 Bloodline Rebellion. Like Tekken Tag, it exists as a side story to the continuity of Tekken. So if you're a hardcore Tekken continuity person, rest assured.
There's a story?
Yeah. Well, you know, if it heavily involves like kangaroos and Kuma and all that, I'm all for it.
A bunch of Heiachis falling in down mountains. And
yes. Volcanoes. Like an army of them. Absolutely.
I like the breakdancer guy.
Eddie Gordo. I love Tekken. I think I love Tekken as much as anybody else, that I know. But
I would be so happy to never hear the word Tekken again after this conversation.
Yeah, but
how about Iron Fist tournament? Can we say that?
No, King of Iron Fist.
King of Iron Fist. Yeah, that's what it is. Okay.
But I don't really think I want this because my least favorite Tekken game ever, besides Tekken 4, is Tekken Tag Tournament.
Yeah.
What about that one for Game Boy Advance?
That was Tekken Advance, and it was a two-button. I think it was just two-button. I didn't play it, but it was crap.
Yeah, I don't think that counts. Yeah. That might be one of those that everybody wants
but
to forget.
Tekken 5 and Tekken 6 on the PSP, pretty freaking fantastic.
I just don't get Tekken Tag Tournament 2. I mean, how many years has it been since the first one came out?
It came out 12 years ago.
Are there some people that actually think that is like their favorite Tekken?
Some people.
And why?
Because it was a launch game for the PS2, and people fondly remember the PS2. I bought the frickin' arcade cabinet, so...
Yeah, I know.
Well, it makes sense, guys. Think about it. We got a new GoldenEye coming out. And all these games coming over to DS are like old N64 games. Hey. Tekken 2?
Tekken 2.
Tekken
2 is great. Tekken Tag
2. Yeah. Jumping back to Capcom. Marvel vs. Capcom 3. The new characters keep on coming. They've announced Spider-Man, which everybody assumed.
Yeah.
And then X-23, meh. And Wesker from Resident Evil, kind of random, but if you've seen like the footage of him, he kind of fits in. He fits in as much as anybody else.
Barry needs to be in tech. I mean, be in this game.
Well, he might be in still tech be. Tech
you know, picking up on a discussion that we had, I think a couple weeks ago, about how if you're waiting for 362 or 720 or whatever in PS4, don't hold your breath. Microsoft's United Kingdom boss has been quoted as saying the next generation will not be, or the current generation is, quote, here for a long, long time. And that he says, quote, I think there's still a lot of legs left with the Xbox 360. So we're years, years away from contemplating what comes next.
Is this due to the economy, or is it due to the fact that these freaking consoles are so ridiculously overpowered that there's...
And overpriced.
No, not now.
At release, they are. Point,
yeah, they are. Well, definitely. Well, you know, I think that maybe...
Not the 360. It wasn't overpriced.
I think the economy probably plays in just a small part, just in the fact that they probably don't feel like we want to stomach a launch pricing model anytime soon. But also, to Brian's point, what's wrong with the consoles right now?
Nothing.
There's
really not. The PS3 still has power to spare. The 360, I mean, games look great.
The only problem is that 360, some of the games are now going on to two or three discs.
Yeah, that sucks.
And that wouldn't be a problem if you could just install them and then just run it off of one disc. But something like Mass Effect 2, got to switch to the second disc if you're going to second disc stuff.
That's really only a firmware update. But I'm certain they don't want to do it because, hey, I installed this on two different games, on two different consoles. Here, you can have this one. But they should just make it so that you can just play it off the first disc.
Yeah, I don't understand why.
I don't either.
Yeah.
You know, still real quick, PlayStation 2s.
Yeah. I think they supported PlayStation 2 fairly solidly up until what, last year, really?
You can still find them everywhere.
Yeah, I mean, they've kind of shut down the significant support, but, I mean, they were really pushing it.
Sony's just like one step away of pulling a Sega and then licensing out the hardware and the brand name to another company, like with that Sega Genesis Model 3 that I always wanted that was...
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, Toys R Us for a week.
Yeah.
Yeah. Is that a collector's item?
I don't think it goes for a premium, but I mean it was just basically Sega licensing out. I mean, they're not even licensing out the hardware because the Sega Genesis is entirely built of off the shelf components. So I'm pretty sure you can build like a clone Genesis without worrying about being sued because I mean, it's literally all stock componentry.
That would be an awesome homebrew project.
What? Easy homebrew? Making your own Genesis out of those TV game things.
You can do that.
You know the ones with the Sega games that have the little mini Sega Genesis between the controller and the TV?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah.
Those literally can be modded really easily. Except
you can do the same. I've got the Atari Flashback, too, and you can literally solder on a connector for the cartridges, and it'll play them.
Yeah, apparently the Genesis ones, if you can still find them, because I know they've kind of eased back on making the boxes not part of the controller on those, but like it's like as easy as taking off the top, cutting a slit, and like adding the adapter, if not taking off the ROM cartridge. Like, it's just a Genesis.
Wow, that's interesting.
Yeah,
that's
it's
cool.
Like just minor work, and you've got a Genesis with six button controllers. So,
hey, since we've derailed for a second, I do want to say this. My next stupid purchase is I am probably going to break down and buy an actual original Famicom.
Really?
I've always wanted a Famicom, but I've never owned one. I don't want to buy a Famiclone because I really want to play Castlevania 3 with the original sound.
Wow,
that's
nice.
For that, I can get one for $50, so I might as well.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, I got a Famiclone, but yeah, a real one, that's awesome.
Yeah, the Famiclone.
You got the microphone.
Yeah, the Famiclone one actually doesn't actually support all the extensions, so.
Yeah.
Interesting. Okay, last topic before we get to the discussion. Real quick, Arkham City. We've got some more details on that. We may get vehicles because apparently the game's going to be like five times the size of Arkham Asylum, so one of the things they're going to have to do is maybe possibly add in some vehicles. We'll see how that works. And then it looks like it's very, very likely that you're going to get Catwoman co-op.
Just give him a horse.
So,
Yeah.
I'm not really sure which point that's supposed to be in response to, Brian.
Exactly. Sorry.
So, for all you Arkham fans out there, you can look forward to that. Now, let's get into the topic. So, if you've been living under a rock the last couple days, you may not be aware that BioShock Infinite, otherwise known as BioShock 3, 10 minutes of gameplay as kind of a pseudo-trailer, hit the internet in the last few days, and it is fucking awesome! So awesome that it makes me weep for my dislike or just my inability to get into first-person shooters.
What's so great about it?
Well, it's immediately clear how immersive and different this experience will probably be. Would you agree, Rob?
Yeah, it's definitely a step up in BioShock.
Is it full of like objectivistic ideology and such, like Ayn Randianisms? Is it still?
No, they kind of take a complete move away. I mean, there's still ideology and all that, but it's kind of a more steampunkish type adventure as opposed to Ayn Rand underwater.
It's because it's in the sky.
I love me some Ayn Rand, so yeah, that's kind of disappointing.
I mean, you're still going to get your symbolism and preachiness and stuff like that, but it's certainly like the game mechanics. There's some stuff that's kind of gimmicky, but also really cool. If you get vertigo easily, you may want to stay away. I'll just say that. If you get dizzy easily, the character development, the banter, and the script seems like it's going to be excellent. But to the point that I kind of wanted to get your guys' input on. So I'm one of those people that can't get into first-person shooters.
Ever?
Well, I mean, I even tried with, like, War for Cybertron. And
it's not
if there's any
shooter.
First-person shooter I could get in, just even on a shallow level, not saying, like, the gameplay is, like, great, at least from, like, you know, from a concept level,
it's
I should be able
to. It's because you're on a Mac is the only reason.
I know. I'm that just means I'm a douchebag. That doesn't mean I can't like first person shooters. Anyway, but it seems like first person shooters get one these days. They get all the glory. They get all the hype, and they get all like the game making talent. Like all the really talented game makers seemingly go to that genre.
You think so?
Well, some of the real like transcendent games these days are considered first person shooters.
And it's because they just sell. I mean, everybody buys them. I mean, they buy your Modern Warfares and your Halos and whatnot because that's what's in.
You know,
that is true.
For American games, absolutely, yeah. I guess that is the most, that and sports games.
I mean, I hate it because I'd like to have something different to play instead of just like yet another Call of Duty or yet another Halo. You know, something that's probably part of the reason why I liked Arkham Asylum so much, because it wasn't a first-person shooter. You know, I mean, it was not Call of Duty. And we don't really get a whole lot of stuff like that. I mean, they're still doing... I mean, how many first-person shooters are coming out this holiday season?
Not enough.
Black Ops and Medal of Honor and shoot... Gosh, I don't even know what else, but it's all the same game, basically.
What isn't a first-person shooter just coming out that isn't using the Unreal Engine? It's like I keep playing the same game.
So as a non-first person shooter like player like me, I mean, is that like a problem? Is for the most part it's pretty stagnant as a genre?
I think that it's
or is
harder
there enough
to,
innovation?
I think it's harder to weed through the crap to find, you know, the gem. Like I was telling you guys about, you know, Reach before we get started. I wasn't so sure that Reach was going to be, you know, yet just, you know, either a good game or just yet another Halo game, but it's they've made changes to it. They've found a way to make it more, you know, kind of original again, and they've got me interested in it, just like when I got to play Halo 2's multiplayer for the first time on old Xbox. So it feels like I've jumped back in time and like I'm just, you know, rediscovering Halo again, and that's pretty awesome for a game that's been out for like, gosh, how long has Halo been out? Like,
10 years.
Good decade.
10 years now.
You know, I'll say this. I think there's greater diversity now in first-person shooters than we had 10 years ago. There's a lot of crap, but there are more AAA titles in the world of first-person shooters than there used to be. back in the late 1990s, you had Quake 2, Quake 3, and Half-Life. And, you know, there were, you know, there are other games in there that you could point to, like, you know, Duke Nukem, which was mid-90s. But, yeah, it was mostly, from the mid-90s, it was mostly really crappy Doom clones, you know, or, you know, other games that id put out because they, you know, could, like Hexen and those kind of games, Heretic. You know, now I'm not like a Modern Warfare fan, but, you know, they're good games. I mean, people play them for a reason. It's not like people sit around and play crap. You have your Fallouts, you have your BioShocks, you have your if you like Quake 4, you got Quake 4. you have all these choices now. That you have your Halos, you have this new GoldenEye game coming out. I think this is probably the richest, most diverse first person shooter environment we've had. And I'm not a huge first-person shooter fan. I used to be, like, when I first got a PC. I was doing nothing but playing them. And thinking back, most of those first-person shooter games I played were crap.
Was there a reason that you got out of it?
I started getting more into... I've always been into fighting games, but... just personally, there's a period in my life when, you know, it became less about me playing stuff, you know, solitary, solo, you know.
Uh-huh.
It became more of a sit down on the couch with your friends sort of thing. And once I hit that point, it was mostly racing games and fighting games because there's a more of a social aspect to that. Yeah, I mean, I did sort of have like little LANs set up at home. Where, you know, like Chris might come over, or my friend Ricky might come over, and we'll play
Unreal Tournament,
or, you know, like Unreal Tournament 2004, and, you know, that was fun, but when we got together, it was always Soul Calibur, or Tekken.
Yeah, but, you know, there was that period, just like everybody, where all we played was GoldenEye there for a while in 64.
Yeah, I mean, that's
my
true.
God, the time we spent playing that game.
It's ridiculous, yeah.
Yeah, it was ridiculous.
And it's such a crappy game.
You could do it again.
Oh,
yeah.
Boy.
In a few months, you'll be able to do it again exactly the same way.
I'll be playing Halo Reach.
So if I buy that, I would play it. So you want me to pick that up, Triplet?
Well, I don't know if you would play it, but I'll be playing it.
Let me order it from Best Buy. I'll do it right now.
Again?
Yeah.
Again. Well, cool. You know, and I think... the other thing about first-person shooters is it always seems like kind of cyclical. Like, maybe I do have, like, since I don't really live and breathe the genre, I just have a perception that that's where all the talent goes and that's where all the good games lie. But it is, like, a cyclical thing because, you know, that's where they make the money. And so those are the games that get all the marketing dollars. And so those are the games where the companies push all their resources, all the people. So, you know, it's a real cyclical thing where, like, success... kind of breeds success,
and it's not just
be
like
interesting to see when that cycle, you know, is done.
And it's just not like it's not just a dominating market anymore. You know, it's not, you know,
that's true.
Epic or in those guys. It's sprinkled all around. I mean, companies I'd never heard of, or, you know, making quality. You know, 5 years ago, companies may not have existed, are making really quality games. So
absolutely, and you see with like the debacle at with Call of Duty. That there's a real awareness of the talent that goes into those games, and that it's not just a genre that you can crank out anymore and make clones of. So there's a real respect for the game makers.
And one interesting thing that we haven't mentioned is that, you know, now all the quality first person shooters coming out on consoles. Consoles used to be crap for first person shooters. Even the most popular one, you know, of its time, GoldenEye, was really, you know, kind of crappy.
Excellent point.
Yeah.
Excellent point, Brian. Excellent points all around. I think we'll end the show on that note. But some house cleaning notes. Well, you know, one of the things we like to do on New Soundwave nowadays is really capitalize on tweeting. So please, please, please follow us and the family of shows. Our Twitter name, handle, what have you, is TF Radio. And when the show is posted, when New Soundwave is posted, we will also post some fun links that we find particularly interesting. Just a tease, I'm going to post when the show's posted, I'm going to tweet a really cool animated short that basically is retro games versus modern games. That's the plot of this animated story. A very interesting article. If you're in the mood for something kind of smart, kind of intellectual, your consoles and your phones are made in hell, and that is no exaggeration. So I'm going to post a story that includes stuff like suicide nets. No joke. And then finally, because the game trailers never get old, just like the BioShock Infinite trailer, which again, awesome. I'm going to post some of the best game trailers from Tokyo Game Show this last week. This last month, actually. So, for everybody on New Soundwave, I'm John DeLuna. We'll check you next week. And again, before we go, check out all of our sister shows. New Soundwave is just one of many, many, many shows that our dear friend Brian Kilby has put together.
RFC does he find the time?
Where does he find the time? You know, a little known fact that Brian does not sleep. He just like plugs himself into the wall.
I found an extra 15 hours. So, you know, there's like, I have like 183 hours in my week. It's pretty great.
It's tremendous, people. He's not human. You know,
he's actually a clone. We're talking to Brian 3. Brian 1 and 2 died this weekend. Yeah. And this is the third clone.
Yeah.
Yes. Yes.
Oh, I thought Brian you were going to say this is like Brian Riley.
Yeah. I think he's going more for a Wayoon DS9 sort of thing.
Yeah, yeah.
I was saying, TFRadio.net, it's the creation of Brian 3 with help from Brian 2.
I guess.
Go there and listen to RFC, New Soundwave, which you're listening to right now, crazy. Superhero Time, Fanboy versus Outside the Cage, which came back.
It's actually surprisingly good.
Unbelievable.
I'm kidding. It's good.
Unbelievable.
You're on there occasionally, John.
Yes, if you mean by once, I am.
Rob's on there occasionally.
It needs more wrestling talk, less UFC for my taste.
Well, occasionally can be once until it's only once.
Yeah.
The only problem is that there's like nothing to talk about wrestling right now.
We've only had eight shows.
Mickey
so.
James has signed with TNA. How about that?
Hey, ooh, awesome.
Scott Hall's in rehab again, you know.
Spoilers.
Yeah, spoiler.
Drunk again.
I know how this story ends.
Well, here's the funny thing. He gets his job back when he gets out by TNA, which
That's
is
true.
Funny considering WWE's paying for his rehab. Just like, hey, TNA guys, you're all old WWE guys anyway.
Oh, what a world. What a country. Yeah. What a country. Anyway, folks, that's a taste more or less of Outside the Cage, sort of. Find them all at tfradio.net. Like I said, for New Soundwave and the boys, I'm John DeLuna. We'll see you next week.
This has been New Soundwave. Visit us at tfradio.net for show notes and to subscribe to the podcast. Follow us on Twitter at tfradio for news and updates. Watch our live stream at tfradio.net/live. Check out all our videos at tfvideo.net. Join our Facebook fan page at facebook.com/tfradio. New Soundwave is a Radio Free Cybertron production. Copyright 2010, Radio Free Cybertron.